Cody, you don't know how much confidence that gives a preacher when you when the song you lead before the sermon is "Open Our Eyes, Lord." Anyway, is Eric even, Eric here today? That song's for Eric. "Open Our Eyes." Anyway, so happy Super Bowl, happy Super Bowl Sunday. It's almost to that point, isn't it, to where it becomes a national holiday, to where you, you know, like Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Super Bowl Day. I don't know how much you've watched TV or listened to the radio this week, but the hype about the Super Bowl continues to grow, right? Every night coming home, I usually come home pretty late at night, and I listen to the sports station, and every night it was 7 days to the Super Bowl. And then the next night it was 6 days to the Super Bowl. I mean, how much can you talk about the Super Bowl? I mean, they interviewed every player, I think, every coach, every mother of the players, you know, every best friend, every teacher. You know, it's just like all of these, it's gotten to such a hyped level that it's amazing. So why is it that we even care? Why is it that we watch the Super Bowl? How many people in here are a diehard Broncos fan? Okay. How many people are a diehard Panthers fan? It's like, so what? You're not a diehard Panthers fan. He's a diehard whatever fan team he thinks is going to win fan. Okay. Let's just be real about it, Ernest. Jaquan will come all decked out in his, you know, his Cam Newton stuff tonight. And he's like, so you're a Cam Newton fan? He's like, who? he's dabbing all over the place, you know. I don't even know what that means. But so it's not about the teams necessarily, okay? Probably, what, for 10% of the people, it's actually about that their team is in the Super Bowl. For most of us, our team is not in the Super Bowl. Okay, for most of us, our team will not be in the Super Bowl for a while. It's only two, right? It can only be two out of 30. How many teams are 32, 34 teams? There can only be two teams in the Super Bowl. So for a lot of us, it's not about the teams. For some of us, it might be about individual players. Okay, I am a big Peyton Manning fan. I love to watch him play, and I'm rooting for him to win. That's why I'm rooting for the Broncos. Some people are big Cam Newton fans. They love his story, how he came from poverty and he was able to make it to the big time. And that people doubted he would even be able to play quarterback in the NFL, right? Because he was more of an athlete than a quarterback. And people said, oh, he'll never make it. So for some people, it's about individual players. What is it for you? Okay, for some of you, like, it's Super Bowl day. You know, some people don't know or care. We're having lots of Super Bowl parties. I think it's estimated, and I don't know if this number's right, but that 100 million people will watch the Super Bowl on TVs throughout the world. Okay, I don't know if that number's right or not. I don't know how they could possibly know that over $10 billion will be bet on aspects of the Super Bowl. Okay, most of those people will lose, okay, and lose money. They're even saying that some of the betting things that people actually bet on, like what color Cam Newton's mom will be wearing in the stands, or what will she be wearing, or what is it that you know, what type of warm ups will Cam Newton come out in? You know, it's like, oh, I lost that one. You know, who's going to bet on that? You know, what the score will be? You know, how many? It's all kinds of crazy stuff. But it's a huge deal in our society, not only in America, but all over the world, that this idea of the Super Bowl. For me, it's more about the game itself. I just love the game of football. I love watching it. Becky knows, because as we go to bed at night or whatever during college football season, especially, you know, she reads her Bible and she immediately falls asleep. Sometimes one before the other, but and at late at night I'm flipping, you know, and it'll be like North Dakota Tech versus, you know, Idaho prep school, you know, and I'm sitting there watching the game, and she'll wake up and she's like, what are you watching? I'm North Dakota Tech and Idaho. Who? You know, it's not about necessarily the teams for me. I just enjoy the game. But I'm especially, and I think this is maybe what it is for a lot of people, they enjoy championships. They enjoy championships. When you got two teams pitted against each other for that particular prize, for the big deal prize. These guys have been working, some of them, their entire careers to get to the level of being called champion. And it's not enough to be the champion of your little division or the champion of your side of the NFL, but the champion of the entire thing. And we even call it world champion, right? Because there is no NFL anywhere else in the world. So you become the world champion. Same thing with some of the other sports, like the NCAA March Madness. Everybody likes to watch it because it's guys that get to that pinnacle, to that championship level, and they're the ones that make it to be the best. And for our team, it can only be one team. And for most of us, maybe once in our lifetime, unless you're a Patriots fan or, you know, a Bulls fan, once in your lifetime, you get to see your team win. When there's guys actually on the team that you even know their names. And so, I think a lot of it is the idea of championship, being a champion. How many of you in your life have ever been a champion? When it comes to sports or when it comes to something that you've been involved in. Some of you are shaking your head. No, I've been a loser my whole life. I've never been a champion, you know. Because it's either champion or loser, right? I mean, it's one of the two, unfortunately. I've had the opportunity to be in a championship. I've been an opportunity to coach in championships and win. Hopefully we'll be coaching a championship this year for the middle school team, right? But I've also been on the losing end a lot of times to where you didn't win. It feels much better to be a champion than it does to be the one that loses. Okay? Moral victory, guys. We did a good job. You know, well, it's like, who cares at that point? You want to win. And I was thinking about what it takes to be a champion. What it takes to be a champion. And if you look at the championship teams, the ones that aren't champions have a lot of these qualities too, okay? And it doesn't always mean that the one that wins was that much better than the other one. Sometimes you get a break. Sometimes you're able to, you know, sometimes you deflate the balls. You know, sometimes you do all sorts of things that give you an edge or whatever it is. It doesn't mean that all the other teams don't have that level. But I think about what is it that sets teams apart that are champions and that continue to be champions. And I think about us as Christians. Think about our life in Christ. What is it that makes us a successful Christian? What is it that makes us a champion in Christ? And a lot of those traits are the same. And I just want to mention a few traits that are similar. In a championship team or organization, and also in a person's life. Oddly enough, and it shouldn't seem odd that the Bible talks about this idea, this concept of winning, of being successful in living the Christian life. Because if I'm not successful in living the Christian life, it's not like, okay, we'll try again next year. Okay? It's kind of an eternal thing. That once I live this life and I'm done with it, I want to be a champion. Because if I'm not, the alternative is not pleasant. Right? I want to win. There's a verse we're going to look at two verses today as kind of the basis of our lesson. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24, says this. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And then in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, he says, "But not that I've already attained the prize, or that I've been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I did not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, I forget what is behind, and I strain toward what is ahead. And I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." This year is Super Bowl 50, right? It's supposed to be like, it's a milestone. I'm going to be using a few quotes about championship from the guy who coached in the very first one. Super Bowl I. Anybody know who that is? Vince Lombardi. Okay. Probably the most influential coach that's ever lived when it comes to football. And he says, and he would probably not like it that I'm applying his quotes to the Bible, but because he was not a Christian man. But he says, "Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. Every time a football player goes to play his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet, right up to his head. Every inch of him has to play." And that's the way it is, right, in anything that you want to be a champion at. It's got to be something that you give your entire being to, something that you give your life to, something that you make the focus of who you are. Isn't it funny that people will give themselves to things such as a silly game where you throw a pigskin around, you know, and they'll dedicate their entire being, their entire life, and they'll work so diligently for something so trivial, it seems. And yet when it comes to their life, they don't work so hard. But for us, we understand that in living the Christian life, it's an all-the-time thing. It's something that can't be just I'll be a Christian today and not tomorrow. I will be a Christian this moment and not that moment. It's something I strive to do from the beginning to the end. Your successful football players are guys who take it seriously, who it becomes their life for that, at least for the season. You look at guys who have extreme talent who didn't make it, and most of the time it's like, well, they just didn't take it serious enough. It just didn't become who they were. They didn't really want to be a champion. So the first thing that he mentions is that the first trait of being a champion is you have to want to be a champion. You have to have the desire to be a champion, a desire to win, a desire to reach the goal that you've set for yourself. Every team without a goal is going to reach it every time. Right, that was said by someone, I think John Wooden maybe, that if you don't have any goals, you're going to reach them every time. We put that goal out in front of us, and even though it seems like pie in the sky, don't you think that every beginning of every season, the first meeting is what? Guys, this year, we're going to win 3 games. You think that's the Titans reach that goal. I mean, 2 games, right? We got 2. No, every meeting is the same, and what is it? Our goal is to win the Super Bowl. Now, do we have what it takes to get there? That's totally up to you guys. But my goal as a coach, our goal as an organization, is to win the Super Bowl. Well, there's 2 teams there. The rest, you know, are wondering what went wrong. But the point is that it's an all-the-time thing. It's an all-the-time attitude. It's a desire from within us to win. Vince Lombardi said, "The difference between a successful person and others is not a lack of strength and a lack of knowledge, but rather a lack of will." A lack of will. And oftentimes that is what separates. I mean, it helps to have Pro Bowl players on your team. But a desire, a want to win. But you know, desire is not enough. Desires only take shape when they are accompanied by something called, and it's a bad word, discipline. Discipline. Paul says that I don't fight like a man beating the air. He says, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not find myself disqualified. Everyone that who competes goes into strict training. There are teams that don't make it because they just don't have the discipline. They just don't have the, they have not submitted themselves to the goal. They've not done what it takes physically or mentally. They don't listen to the coach. They don't do what's supposed to be done. Everybody knows that there are certain things that have to be done in order to win. And if you don't buy into it, if you don't discipline yourself, and that means a couple of things, really, in the sports world. It means you have to do certain things and you have to not do certain things. Right? A lot of people's problem, a lot of players' problem is just a lack of discipline. There's this guy right now, his name is Johnny Manziel. Anybody know about him? He was slated to be the next great one, right? But he's got one problem. He has no discipline in his life. He's now been accused of domestic violence and probably going to go and going to have to go to court and may even get disbarred from the NFL. You look at guys like that and you say, you have all the talent in the world. You even may want to be good, but you don't discipline yourself. You don't stay away from certain things, and you don't do certain things. Now, in our lives, what is it that God has asked us to do when it comes to discipline? What disciplines are we to have placed in our life? Staying away from certain things and putting certain things into our lives so that we're able to win. Paul says it's all about that. I beat my body into submission, Paul says. I work out and I make sure spiritually that I am ready for every test that comes my way. Although we'll never be ready for everything. But yet, I have disciplined myself. First Timothy 4:7 says, train yourself to be godly. Hebrews 12:7 says to endure hardship. When we come against something that's a struggle, if I've not disciplined myself, I won't make it through. And unfortunately, that's kind of the way that some of us are. There's a famous coach, his name is Tom Landry of the Dallas Cowboys. He said, the job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. And really, the coach sees the big picture, right? He's out there. Why are we doing 700 push-ups? And why are we doing this? That's what the player's thinking. Why are we doing all these sprints? And the coach knows that by doing that, they're going to be able to reach forward to the goal that they've set. That's really the coach's job. That's why there are not too many championship coaches, because they're not willing to do what it takes. The third thing is focus. Focus, commitment to the goal. Paul says that I look forward to the goal. I keep my eyes open. I keep my eyes focused on that thing which I'm going to reach. The story is told about a quarterback for Notre Dame in 1998. I don't remember this, but that he led Notre Dame to a national championship. And before the season started, everybody was looking at this team and saying, well, they're a great team, but their quarterback is not very good. He can't pass. And their coach, who was Lou Holtz at the time, gave him an exercise to do. Before the season started, he said, every day, and he handed him a dartboard. Every day I want you to spend an hour throwing darts at this dartboard. And I want you to continue throwing the darts until you can hit the center with regularity. And so that's what he did. He practiced his focus, right? And he would work and he would work and he would work. You think, well, what, how in the world does that translate from throwing a dart at a dartboard to throwing a football? Kid came back and won a national championship. And everybody was questioning his ability. And they asked him about it. And he said, Coach Holtz made me learn how to focus on a target. For many of us, one of Satan's greatest tools against us is distraction. Right? He distracts us from what's real and from what we're really supposed to be about. We get distracted in our job, and we get distracted with our recreation, and we get distracted with entertainment and all sorts of things that Satan just bombards us with. And this is the world of distraction. You sit in any public place and you see like 90% of the people doing this. Right? We went to a concert a few months ago, and the people were cheering, you know. I mean, that we'd paid good money to go to this concert, you know, and all this. And they turned the lights out, and it was as if they didn't turn the lights out. Every single person was on their phone, you know, probably tweeting or whatever that is, but about something, you know. And we get so distracted. If we just learn to focus on what it really is that we're trying to accomplish, and that is to win the Christian life, to go to heaven. If that's what we would really focus in on, maybe it wouldn't be a bad thing to have a dartboard and to work on our focus. Figuring out what this life is really about. You know, everything else, it's not bad. Recreation isn't bad. Our job obviously isn't bad. It helps us pay the bills. And phones aren't bad. And all these different things aren't bad, when in the context of what I'm really trying to do. And that is, I'm trying to win. Super Bowl week, the number one thing the coaches say is what? The most difficult part of Super Bowl week is keeping the players focused. They got all these people interviewing them, telling them how great they are. They have a place they can go out and spend their millions of dollars. You know, they can go out to these bars and they can go out to all these parties and they can, you know, so keeping their focus is the hardest part. And it's the same for us. We have to learn how to keep our focus. Fourth thing is this. A champion knows how to sacrifice. You put certain things aside for the greater goal. What is it that a Christian is asked to sacrifice in their life? Vince Lombardi said, success is like anything worthwhile. It has a price. You have to pay the price to win, and you have to pay the price to get to the point where success is possible. Most important, you must pay the price to stay there. Football is a great deal like life in that it teaches that work, sacrifice, perseverance, competitive drive, selflessness, and respect for authority is the price that each and every one of us must pay to achieve any goal that is worthwhile. What is it that we're called to sacrifice in our lives? Some of the things that we really enjoy doing, some of the things that come natural to us, some of the things that we have to put things aside. Jesus tells us that in order to be his disciple, I must do what? Deny myself, carry a cross, and follow him. Sacrifice the things that I really desire to do for the win. I want to win. If you could ever convince a group of young men, whatever sport it is, that the goal is worth the sacrifice, then you are going to be a champion. You're going to be a champion. The goal is worth the sacrifice. It's worth the late hours. It's worth the time in the weight room. It's worth the extra practice. It's worth all of the things that you go through. And if you've ever been a champion, you know that it is worth it. You get to the end and you're just like, yes, let's do it again. I'll go through it all again just to have this feeling one more time. And for the Christian, it's so much greater than that. Knowing the sacrifice that must be paid in order to reach the goal. The last thing is, a championship team has character. Character. All of these things that we've talked about, they mold and they shape a person into character. Now, this is when it sometimes falls down when it comes to professional sports, okay? Because character's in one realm and it doesn't always translate to everything else, right? Most of these guys, they're not tremendous men, okay? They're not tremendous guys that you would want to be your role models when it comes to the Christian life or even to any part of life. But when it comes to football, okay, they've put the things in their life or in that game that they need in order to win. For us, it goes so much greater than that, right? I've always been told that character is that thing that you do when no one's looking. That's the idea of character, the things that you do when no one's looking, when you're willing to do the right thing. And here I am as a Christian living the Christian life, and I have to know that all this, the discipline and the sacrifice and all of this has molded me into being something, someone that can win. Someone that can face any difficulty and trial. Someone who, even in the face of sin, can avoid it. Think about the life of Paul. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him. Think about where Paul began and then where Paul ended. The character of his life. With the drawing of his last breath, he crossed the goal line of glory. The time clock sounded and he had won the game. Paul was a Super Bowl Christian. Waiting for him on the other side was a prize. A prize greater than any Super Bowl ring. For Paul, there would be crowns that would last for eternity. Here's the thing about it. As hyped as this game is, next year nobody's going to even remember who the Super Bowl champion was. 2 years from now, 5 years from now, nobody's going to even care. Except for the people who were in the ring. Our prize is so much greater. It has eternal value, eternal weight. And shouldn't we take so much more effort in receiving it? So I think about the desire and the discipline and the focus and the sacrifice and the character that it takes to be a champion. Let's put those things into our lives, not only in just the daily parts of our lives, in striving to do great things in this world, but put those things in our lives so that we, in the end, can be called a champion. Would you pray with me, please? God, I thank you for the day that you've given us. I thank you, Father, that you've given us such a great example. As Paul talks about in your word about what it means and what it takes to be a champion. I pray, Father, that you would help us to strive for that with all of our might. To strive for the prize that only you can give. And it's an eternal prize, an eternal heavenly prize that, Father, we can live with you forever. That we'll put away the distractions of this world, Father, that we will think about you and we will place, we'd be willing to discipline our bodies and discipline our lives to reach that goal. Help us, Father, to sacrifice all the things that come our way in this life for the prize of eternal glory. Thank you, Father, for Jesus and for the hope that he gives us in the reaching of that goal, that we can keep our eyes focused on him as he was our perfect example of how to live this life. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. And I pray all of these things in your Son's name. Amen. The thing is that sometimes we fail. I think about, what are the Titans thinking right now? All the Titans sitting at home, dude, we had 2 wins, man. Okay? No, that's not what they're thinking. They're thinking, what are we going to do to win? It may not work. I mean, there's going to be teams that stink. I mean, it's just the way it is. But what are we doing to win? They fired some people, right? And they hired some new people to try to make it work. What are you doing in your life to win? Maybe you're at a point in your life to where you're struggling with some things and it's really got you down. You can either sit there and mope about it or you can figure out, what does it take to win? What do I have to do differently in my life in order to win? That's the attitude of a person that will win. One that takes the difficulties, takes the losing, and makes something out of it and says, what do I need to do differently? Maybe you're in that boat. Maybe you're in that situation. And maybe you'd like for us to pray for you that you can get out of that rut of losing in your life. We'd love to pray with you today. Maybe it's the fact that you have never become a Christian and you want to become one today. That opportunity presents itself to you right now as Cody stands and he leads us in singing.
567.
And the rest of us.
Restore.